Today's lesson will be on our health, our emotional health, psychological health, and spiritual health. And we want to look at the 25 promises of God and how to stand on them, and to see how we can apply them to our daily lives so that as we intermingle with the world, we're able to show them that the strength that we bear is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what we believe to be the spiritual truth of true mental health is through a good relationship with the Lord and with our fellow people, human beings. Now, here are God's 25 most powerful promises and how to stand on them. Number one, he said, he gives strength to the weary. When you're feeling weak, especially in your quest to follow, to honor and serve God, he promises power to the faint. It says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Which means those who hope in the Lord will always be able to renew their strength through Scripture. Number two, promise here, he says, he will give you rest. God will give you rest. Relatedly, the Lord promises to give us rest. Matthew 11:28-30, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Christ we can pour ourselves out like a drink offering, 2 Timothy 4:6. But the way of Christ is a light yoke because it is his yoke. Jesus has borne the burden of our salvation. We have only to follow him in his gentle path to avoid unnecessary burdens, to avoid unnecessary conflicts, to avoid complexities of the world. Is when we follow Jesus Christ, life simplifies itself. Number three, promise he says, his love never fails. Do you hear the questions in your mind like, if God loved you, you wouldn't be going through this? Or what kind of father would let his child go through something hard? In Isaiah 54:10, it says, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. So whatever goes on in our lives, whatever turmoil may be a part of our lives, we will not, because of the love of Christ, his love for you is more permanent than a mighty mountain. Don't believe any version of the lie that says God could stop loving you. He is your Father in heaven and will continuously love you. Number four says he has redeemed you. What does this mean? It means that God is holy and righteous and requires payment for sin. Our problem is that we're born in a fallen world with a fallen flesh, and we sin because we're sinners. If we have to pay our own penalty for sin and rebellion against God, we will truly perish. But God has redeemed us. God has brought us through sinful lives, and we'll be able to better redeem ourselves and come back to the Lord. Colossians 1:13-14 reads, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. That is our redemptive prize, is the forgiveness of our sins. This simply means that Jesus took our place on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. And we receive the righteousness and clean record of Christ as a result of Christ paying the price on the cross. Shows how indebted we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed for us. Number five promise says, he has adopted you. We are children of the Lord. Some people are blessed with good earthly fathers, some not. But our Father in heaven is a great Father. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, all according to the purpose of his will. If you witness an adoption in a court of law, you will hear the question posed to the new parents. Do you understand that adoption is an irreparable act and you cannot take it back? Once God has adopted us as his children, it is forever. Through the finished work of Christ on the cross, he has adopted those who believe in him and cry, Abba, our Father. Romans 8:15. Settle it in your heart that you are a child of God and loved by him. That gives you strength to go through many ordeals, hardened ordeals. When you settle it in your heart that you are a child of God and you're loved by him. Promise number 6, the Lord will fight for you. In the book of Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites have recently been rescued by God's mighty hand from slavery and oppression in Egypt. No sooner had they escaped from the desert than they saw the might of the Egyptian army and the chariots, horses, and men of war bearing down on them. They were terrified and cried out to Moses. Moses conveyed the heart of God with these amazing words in verses 13 and 14. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The next time you're fearful, go to God who promised to fight for you. There is no greater champion to fight for you than God himself. Promise number 7 says God gives wisdom to those who ask. Have you wished you knew more about life and had a better understanding? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. This means you can become incredibly wise by just asking God, reading his word, studying his word. He says that he will not turn away the asker. He will not berate you for being so foolish. Everything that can be known is known by God, and he is willing to share his ways with you. Seek him in prayer, in the word, in the wise counsel of Christians whose lives seem worth imitating. And then live wisely, knowing what to do is knowledge, doing what you know is wisdom. Let me repeat that. Knowing what to do is knowledge, but doing what you know is wisdom. And wisdom comes from the Lord. Number 8, promise, the devil will flee from you if you resist. Jesus Christ was sinless, perfect. Matthew 4 tells us of how he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. There we see an example of what it might look like to resist the devil. Jesus resists him and the devil flees. Remember that. Jesus resists him and the devil flees. That is applicable to us, we'll find as we read on, that when we resist the devil, he will flee. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It is a matter of resisting and not falling prey to Satan. Submit to God, give him your life, and be about his will. As you follow him, you can count on the opposition from Satan. Let me repeat that. As you follow Christ, as you follow the Lord, you can count on opposition from Satan. Remember, Satan is the Lord's sworn enemy. Learn to resist the devil, and he will flee. He will run away and find another host. Number 9 says, he forgives us when we confess our sins. When we put our faith in Christ, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you do this, your life will begin to change dramatically because you are made new. being made new by putting our faith in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit, we become a new person. But if you do sin on your way to being transformed, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the Lord knowing that we are mere humans, and if we will sin. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's something powerful about honesty before God. Not only does it restore our soul to come into the light with our sin, God, our Father, who knows us, who loves us, wants to forgive us. When you feel conviction and confess sin before God, believe that you are cleansed and forgiven. He's accomplished your cleansing and is in fact in heaven. Number 10, the promise number 10 is your old self is dead. When you've accepted Christ, your old self is dead. Romans 6:6 reads, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Jesus taught us that whoever sins is a slave to sin, John 8:34. He took care of the problem when he took on our sin and the wrath of God, for it is on the cross. We are now set free from our sin because our old sin self was crucified with Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, put away sin. You're dead to it. When temptation comes, resist it. Now that you're fortified with Christ, it becomes a matter of will, of willing to resist sin, and you can resist it, walk away from it. This is good news, but the evil one will do everything he can to fool you into thinking you can't help it, to tempt you. He's the great tempter. Number 11, promise, he forgives us when we forgive others. In a very real sense, God's forgiveness is a free gift because of God's work on the cross, of Christ's work on the cross. But hear what Jesus said in Luke 6:37. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. All of us at some point want to be forgiven. How do we go about getting that forgiveness? We forgive others, and we will be forgiven. The fact is that anyone who chooses to withhold forgiveness has not been to the cross and has not allowed God to forgive them of their own sins. Not being willing or able to forgive those who have sinned against us is a sin of unbelief. Let me repeat that. Not being willing or able to forgive those who have sinned against us is a sign of unbelief. Because our belief is that our sins were nailed to the cross with Christ and are now forgiven. Promise number 12, he will exalt the humble. A theme that runs through the whole Bible as much as any other is that God humbles the proud and exalts the humble. Let me repeat that. God humbles the proud and exalts the humble. He humbles those who are prideful and haughty. And he raises the humble. Matthew 23:12 puts it like this. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. We are to be humble and thereby becoming a candidate to be exalted. Humility is one character trait that is impossible to achieve by focusing on it. The only way to become humble is to look away from yourself. And then look to God and others. Fixing your eyes on him and his glory will keep your own self in a proper perspective. When you're humbled in this way, God's promise is to exalt you. When we remain humble, God will raise us. Promise number 13, he will never forsake you. Anyone who has ever felt abandoned should take heart in the promise that our Father in heaven will never give up on us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Remember, when we are a child of God, we are never alone. He will never leave you or forsake you. Trust him in this. You will never be alone. Therefore, you can be strong and you can be courageous. God may lead us into dark valleys and call us to hard battles for his name's sake, but he will always be there. Promise number 14 is he has given us eternal life. We were created to exist forever. We will either die and continue eternal life, or we will die and continue eternal death. But God has given us life eternal. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Not only will we live eternally, but we will be in a wonderful place where there are no tears, no death, no sorrow, no pain. Number 15 says, he will set you free. In promise number 10, we said that the old self is dead and set free from the sin to which we've been enslaved. John 8:36 reads, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So when Christ sets us free, we are truly free. Don't allow the evil one to lie to you and say you're still in some bondage. You are free indeed. Believe it, live it, and profess it. You are free of unforgiveness. You're free of bitterness, free of anger, free of rage and lust and pride. In your flesh, you can still experience temptation, but you're not obligated to the flesh now. You're obligated to the Spirit. Promise number 16, believe you have received what you have asked for in prayer. It's astounding that Jesus says this in Mark 11:24. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Jesus understood that if we truly believe we have received the thing we've asked for, then we must have prayed in his name, according to his will, and in faith. Walk with Christ every day and become quick to pray as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Promise number 17, he will meet all your needs. Jesus taught his disciples to pray for their daily bread. He also said that if God provides so well for the flowers and the birds, how much more will he care for you? Matthew 6:26. In Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." It helps a lot to live according to his principles of work, living of work and financial stewardship, taking care of those things that we've accumulated. But even when we fail at this, he always manages to find a way to see that his children are provided for. God will always make a way. Call on him and he will answer. In Psalms 50:15, the Lord says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." Here he says that he will come to our aid when we call on him, so that we can give him the glory. This is a very good deal for us and a solid promise. God will help his children when we need him. Why? Because he loves us and it brings him glory. Promise number 19, he will give you the desires of your heart. We read in Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." If you will make it your business to delight in him, find joy in the Lord, he will put desires in your heart that are from him, and then he will give you those things he causes you to desire. Promise number 20, he will never blot your name from the book of life. If you've believed in Jesus, then you have received the seal of the Holy Spirit. This means that you cannot lose the free gift that has been given to you. Revelation 3 and 5 says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." What a wonderful promise. By God's blood, we have conquered and continue and cannot lose our place in the kingdom. Trouble may come, but if we have received the free gift of life, it cannot be stolen from us. What a powerful thought. Trouble may come, but if you have received the free gift of life from God, it cannot be stolen from you. Promise number 21 says, "All things work for good for those who love the Lord." Romans 8:28 puts it like this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." No matter how difficult your circumstances, this promise never fails the Christian. What falls under the umbrella of all things, believe this and trust in him. Is he teaching you? Is he refining you? It is common not to be able to understand when things are hard, but have faith that God is still on the throne and has a good purpose for all things. Promise number 22, "All things will be added when you seek first the kingdom." Again, all things will be added when you seek first the kingdom. There's nothing more powerful in the Christian life than living under the rule and reign of God in his kingdom. The kingdom of God is the opposite of the kingdom of the world, and submission to God's rule will radically change your life for the better. Matthew 6:31-33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these provisions will be added to you." Learn to radically trust God. Strongly trust God. Seek his kingdom and leave the rest to him. Promise that God will not break. Number 23 says, "He will make your path straight." One problem that many people have is a lack of direction. What should they do? Where should they go? They sincerely want to know what is God's will for their lives, and they're looking everywhere to find it. We read in Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Believe in his promise, and your path will become straight." His promise. Number 24, "He has prepared us a place." Jesus promises that his Father's house has many rooms, and there's a place prepared for us with him in heaven. John 14:3. Romans 8:16-17 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness that our spirit, that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." This means that though we suffer with him now, we're also co-heirs and will receive an inheritance in heaven in him for eternity. Spend some time imagining what it might be like in the Father's house with many rooms. Live with him today so that you can live with him forever. And promise number 25, "He is coming again soon." Jesus will come again and will take his own with him at the resurrection of the dead. He promised it just before he rose into heaven. And the last book of the Bible restates it. Revelations 22:12. "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." It's a wonderful news that he is coming again to make all things right. But it also means that we should live in a state of readiness for his return. We're to seek his kingdom and trust him, walk in his spirit and do his will. He will indeed come, just like the Jews waited for the first coming of the Messiah. We wait for the second. He will come. We are to be ready. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're all going to be okay. Remember, whether here or there, we're going to be okay. Remember, although God may have wonderful plans for you and your life, he also has provided you the free will to make your own decision. So you see, our lives are in a partnership with God's plan for us. God wants each of us to be successful contributor to life in this world. Success is not measured by money, prestige, power, or popularity, or any of the other myriad of things we choose to idolize. Being a willing servant to those in need, it's about doing God's will as each opportunity presents itself. Now, God has provided us all with talents and skills to do his work. The idea is to recognize those skills, being grateful for those skills, and willing to use them for God's people and the world itself. If there's anyone standing in the need of prayer, now is the time to come forward as we stand to sing our song of invitation and conclude our lesson.